Good morning, I'm Tara Seiler in for Rachel Miro, and this is the California Report. The state has again missed its revenue projections, increasing the chance that automatic spending cuts could be triggered early next year. Controller John Chung said California is now more than $700 million behind what leaders had estimated would come in when they passed the budget in June. Automatic spending cuts would include more deep reductions to education and social services. California added more than 450 new laws to its books over the past month. Still, many of the bills proposed by lawmakers in the final days of the legislative session didn't make it past the governor's desk. Brown spent a furious month combing through hundreds of bills, and when it was over, he had this to say.
Making sausage and legislation ain't pretty.
Brown warned lawmakers from the outset to prepare for a lot of vetoes. To assess that threat, we spoke to the California Report Sacramento Bureau Chief John Myers. I asked him whether the governor ended up making good on his veto threat.
You know, Tara, I think it depends on your frame of reference, actually. You know, Jerry Brown vetoed 128 of the 889 bills that were sent to him this year by the legislature. That works out to a veto rate of about 14%. Compare that to Arnold Schwarzenegger, who vetoed about 27% of the bills sent to him in 2010. Of course, Schwarzenegger, a Republican, reading Democratic bills. I do think that Brown surprised some Democrats with some of these vetoes. And the governor made clear this year, I think, that the legislature was sending him too many things that were not mission critical, and some of them he vetoed.
And some of those surprises came in relation to labor and business bills. And we have a long adversarial history in this state between business and labor. How did Brown deal with that relationship in terms of the numerous bills backed by one side or the other?
Well, you know, this is a place where the governor seemed to use what he's always called his canoe theory of politics. You paddle a little left, you paddle a little bit right, you try to go in a straight line. You know, labor unions did win some victories. They won a new law to ban the running of credit reports on job seekers, and they won a ban on buying alcohol in supermarket self-checkout lanes. It actually was seen as protecting the jobs of grocery workers who don't work in those lanes. But Brown gave business some wins, too. He vetoed a bill to unionize in-home child care workers, and he vetoed a new mandatory bereavement leave for private sector workers. Now, there were no doubt policy things here, but there's some politics, too. You know, the governor needs business and labor support for a much-talked-about tax proposal that he wants to place on the November 2012 ballot. Hasn't been crafted yet, but he needs the deep pockets of business, frankly, to not kill it, and he needs union help to get it on the ballot, and so he had to find a careful middle ground.
Some of the measures Brown approved put him in the middle of some pretty testy national debates around parental rights, for example. And I'm thinking specifically of the legislation he signed giving minors as young as 12 years old the right to seek preventative medical treatment against sexually transmitted diseases without their parents' consent. How consistent was Brown in this area of balancing individual rights and government intervention?
Well, you know, I think it is a tough balance. The law you're talking about he signed, you know, girls as young as you said is 12, to get that without their parents' consent. But he also cracked down on the freedom of kids with a new law that says you have to be older than 18 to use a tanning bed. Now, both of those seem to limit the rights of parents. Then in September, he worried about parents' rights as the reason that he vetoed helmets for kids who snow ski. These are issues that Brown did have to navigate carefully. They are different schools of thought. And, you know, in some cases, he's on the side of parents. In some cases, he's on the side of the state having protections.
One of the bills he signed that's getting a lot of attention is the California Dream Act, which allows undocumented students to seek public financial aid. It wasn't surprising he signed it since he campaigned on it, but it, again, puts him in the middle of the immigration debate. Do you expect there to be any political backlash?
Well, I think it's going to certainly reignite the debate on illegal immigration, especially for Republicans. You know, the governor also signed a bill that no longer requires businesses to verify an employee's immigration status. He also weighed in on the issue of driver's licenses and seizing vehicles for people who do not have a driver's license, which is a big issue for undocumented immigrants. All of these popular Democrats, hated by Republicans. We're probably going to hear some of that on the campaign trail next year.
Now that we have hundreds of these new laws, how solid are they? Can we expect any of them to be challenged?
I think there's a chance of that. You know, a Republican legislator is actually threatening a ballot referendum over the California Dream Act that we talked about. There also has been a referendum filed to overturn this law that moves initiatives off of June ballots. That would impact a pending initiative that is pushed by Republicans, and the governor signed that into law as well. There are other threats, not just these electoral threats. There may be legal threats, and there are also policy threats. For instance, the governor signed a law that mandates insurance providers cover the treatment of autism. That one, though, will depend on how federal health care reform is implemented in the coming months and years. A governor's signature on legislation, you know, really is not always the end of the story, and that's something we have to remember.
That's John Myers, the California Report's Sacramento Bureau Chief. Check out his blog, Capital Notes, for more detail. You'll find a link at our website, californiareport.org. The Northern California town of Half Moon Bay made pumpkin history on Monday with not one, but two giant gourds that squashed the previous record for the state's biggest, baddest pumpkin.
A new California Half Moon Bay record, 1,704 pounds. Wow!
Leonardo Urena, a full-time landscaper from Napa, won the 38th annual Safeway World Championship Pumpkin Weigh-Off yesterday. He credited a combination of good weather, good seed, and a lot of personal sacrifice. He got up at 5 every morning and spent hours in the pumpkin patch pruning vines, feeding plants, and treating the soil.
It's a lot of work and effort, and then if you don't have that, don't grow pumpkins.
Urena planted 6 pumpkins in late April and watered them at least twice a day. He's secretive about his pumpkin diet, but most growers use a combination of fungi, fish emulsion, and seaweed as fertilizer.
You have to take care of these plants like a lot of care. You have to protect them from sun, you have to protect them from frost, and it's not easy, but we did it this time.
The pumpkins in the contest are so big that a 4-man crew working with a forklift was needed to get them onto the scale. Runner-up Brant Bordson of Marysville said his pumpkin was insatiable. It weighed in at 1,693 pounds, which also beat the old state record.
It would be like you waking up, going to the buffet, eating all day, and then going to sleep and doing the same thing again tomorrow. That's what these plants get. So it's just outrageous.
Urena won more than $10,000 as the contest winner, or just $6 a pound. He's already working on growing a bigger pumpkin next year. That's the California Report for Tuesday, October 11th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Tara Seiler. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the James Irvine Foundation, expanding opportunity for the people of California and supporting the California Report since its premiere in 1995. The California Endowment, building healthy communities because that's where health happens. More information at calendow.org. And Chevron, investing in renewables, strengthening communities, and creating jobs. More information available at chevron.com.